There's no time to kind of like go into any. I need you guys to be laser focused now, okay?
All right, bro, let's go.
I did the kingdom study in one time in like 30 minutes, so I'm gonna try this again.
That's a successful study.
You can do it. Come on, Andrew.
You can do it. All right, so remember now, who are we studying with? Ajibola. Amen. Ajibola, great to see you, my friend. I was really excited to hear that you got a new job. You see, when you seek first the kingdom. As well. No, seriously, you decided to make sure that you found a job that didn't conflict with Sundays and Wednesdays.
Come on, bro.
And at first, I know you had a little doubt in your head, but you trusted God and God blessed you.
Amen.
And I'm very encouraged with you, my friend. Today, we're going to continue. Have you been studying the Bible every day?
Yes, I have.
Oh, thank God. Well, now we're going to move forward. Again, guys, you start with the study with prayer.
Amen.
You always follow up on the challenge and decision from the last study,
yeah.
Right? So he's got to be studying the Bible every day. He's got to decide to start taking it as his food, right? Well, today we're going to look at a key study that really is probably one of the most controversial studies we're going to do. And it's called discipleship, right? Now, when you think about the term discipleship or even the word disciple, most people don't know what it is. Like, what would you say a disciple is, right? Let him answer, right? Well, a disciple actually is a student and a follower. The Greek word is mathetes. Don't worry, I won't test you. Okay? And so we're going to see what the Bible says about being a disciple. Take a look at Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read all the scriptures tonight, so you don't have time to bounce around and look around. You with me here, guys? We're just going to fly. Okay? Matthew 28, we're going to read verse 18 to 20. The Bible here reads, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay, so, Ajibola, what is Jesus, what do you say is Jesus' dream here? What does he want to have happen? It's very clear. He wants everyone to what? To become disciples. Now, remember now, a disciple is a student and a follower, right? And he says, go and make disciples. So a disciple's born, or a disciple's made.
Amen.
They're made, which means that you're not born a disciple.
That's right.
When people say, well, I'm just born, no. You have to be made into a disciple. And then it says, baptizing them. So we're gonna go into this more, but as you can see, disciples are not born, they're made. And a candidate for baptism is also a disciple. And you see here, teaching them to obey everything. And so the question as I looked at this, for me, when I studied this out, was, is Jesus' dream my dream? Is Jesus' dream right here about going and making this up, is that what your dream is? Is that what you've been taught? Well, gosh, no. I've never even been shown this scripture before, Andrew. Well, okay. Well, you see here, this is the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. This is the last thing Jesus says. You're one of the last things Jesus says before he's taken up into heaven. So we got to have a deep conviction about this. But now the question becomes is, what's the relationship between a disciple and a Christian? What is that relationship? Are they different? What is it? Let's take a look here. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. Let's see if the Bible can fill us in on the relationship between being a disciple and being a Christian. Now, if I were to ask you, Ajibola, how many times would you say the term Christian is in the Bible? Oh, man, it must be like at least 100 or 200, right? What if I were to tell you the term Christian is in the Bible actually only 3 times, and the first time it's used is here in Acts chapter 11. Let's read here. Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Now, the scriptures actually have 19 to 26. Totally do that if you want. I do 25 and 26 because it takes a little while. But for the sake of the study, write down 19 to 26. Let me be clear. For the test, write down 19 to 26, okay? Let me say it again. For the sake of the study, write down 19 to 26. Now, in a Bible study, I usually just do 25 and 26. But that's just me, because you kind of keep me moving along here. I'm going to save time. Verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Wow. So this now, right here in Acts chapter 11, this is 7 years after the church got started in Acts chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant. Okay. It's 7 years after the church got started in Acts chapter 2. And all this time, they were called what?
Disciples.
Right? So what we see here, disciples were called Christians. Christian was actually really, in some ways, a derogatory term. It was like a catchphrase. You little Christ. You little Balagian. You little Patrician. You little Andrewan. You're like a little Christ. Right? That's really what they were saying here. It wasn't actually a positive thing. But they took that and they essentially absorbed the name and said, okay, you know what? We're going to hold on to it. Now, funny enough, the other two references for Christian in the entire Bible, now again, this is extra, but it's good for you to know if you're teaching the course or teaching the class or the study. Acts 26 verse 29 talks about, Acts 26 verse 28 and 29, King Agrippa says, do you think in such a short time you could persuade me to be a Christian? Right? That's the second time it's used. And then Acts 26 verse 28, King Agrippa says to Paul, do you think in such a short time you could persuade me to be a Christian? That's the second time it's used in the entire Bible. But does that tell you what a Christian is?
No.
Doesn't tell you what a Christian is, right? And then over in 1 Peter, the Bible says here, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Does that tell you what a Christian is?
No.
Does not. So the only, out of the three times it's listed in the entire Bible, the only time that you see any understanding of what a Christian is in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, where it says the disciples were called Christians. Now, do you see why I did that right there?
Yeah.
Because people might say, really, three times? And then I go ahead and I even show them. I'm like, yeah, let me show you. Because sometimes people don't believe me. They honestly don't believe me. Obviously, you're not going to find it in the Old Testament. But you'll find it in the New Testament, right? And so the key thing here is to show them, wow, the only time the word Christian is defined is in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, because it says the disciples were called Christians. The other two times, it just says, if you suffer for being a Christian, amen, praise God. And the guy's asking, hey, do you think you could persuade me to be a Christian? That does not tell you what a Christian is, right? So now, Acts 11, wow, that shows us that disciples were called Christians. So, that makes sense, right? Because the word Christian or Christian, Christ-like, can you be Christ-like without being a student and follower, a disciple of Jesus? No. Can you be, and I give the example, can you be a doctor without being a medical student?
No.
A lawyer without being a law student? So how can I possibly be like Christ if I'm not a student and follower of him? Now, the next goes into the key things understanding. The word disciple is in the Bible 270 times. And so, wow, what's more common today? The word Christian or the word disciple?
Christian.
Why is that? Why is that? People, it's very vague. It's so vague, and people like vague things. Right? Sadly, the word gentleman used to mean something significant back in the day. Today, the word gentleman doesn't really mean much anything anymore. Now they have gentlemen's clubs. Doesn't really mean much. Actually, it means something very negative. You wouldn't be here. So we need to find out what the word disciple means. And so we see here, the way to explain this equation here is very simple. In order to be saved, what do we have to be? We got to be a Christian. We got to be like Christ. In order to be like Christ, what do we need to be? A disciple. If disciple equals Christian and Christian equals saved, if A equals B and B equals C, what must A also equal?
C.
Which means that if we're going to be saved, we must also be a disciple. And you got to let that sink in right there. Let that just kind of marinate like some good beef. Just let it marinate in. Because people need to understand, whoa, if Christian equals saved and disciple equals Christian, that means if I'm not a disciple, I'm not saved. And you're not born a disciple, you gotta be made into a disciple. Wow. So now let's define how Jesus defines a disciple. You with me? Take a look over at Mark. This is important. But you see here, guys, it's good to kind of explain these things. Because a lot of times people will look at you like those two scriptures I can sit down and talk for an hour about. Just those two scriptures alone. And you can really break it down for people because people are shocked. They've never been taught that you need to be a disciple to be a Christian.
Yeah.
It is shocking to people when they find that out. And now when you start breaking it down, what it means to be a disciple, it is even more shocking. Mark chapter 1, let's look at the calling of the first disciples here. The Bible reads here, starting in verse 14. It says here, after John was put into prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, it's interesting, repentance is the first word of the gospel, even before belief. Little nugget for you right there. Mm-hmm. Repent and believe, which means that repentance was actually part of belief. Mm-hmm. You couldn't say that you believe if you didn't repent. Mm-hmm. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. Repent and believe. A lot of times people say, just believe. Well, no, repentance actually is first. If you truly believe, you will repent. Goes on. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net to the lake, for they were fishermen. Now remember, at this time, nets, the fishermen didn't use the fishing rods, they used nets. They worked together as teams, right? So they cast the net to the lake, they were fishermen. Come follow me. Now what's the definition of a disciple again? A student and?
Follower.
So when he says, come follow me, what is he calling them to do? To be his disciples. Come follow me and I will make you. Talk about being made in the disciple. He says here, come follow me and I will make you very rich with prosperity religion. I will make you a husband. I'm giving you a wife or a spouse. Or, no, that's not what it says. A lot of people are looking a lot of things from Jesus, but he says here, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people, fishers of men. Amen? Now, he uses their profession and changes it right there. It helps them understand in the same way they were fishermen for fish, now they need to fish for souls. Verse 18, it says, once they felt up to it, they left their nets and followed him, right?
No.
Are you paying attention? What does it say? At once, they left their nets and followed him. So what do we see here? Number one, key things from this passage. This is important. Key things from this passage is, right, the mission of a disciple is to be what? A fisher of men.
Yes.
That's the mission. Point number two here is that disciples respond immediately, right? If the Bible says jump, we jump. We don't sit around, well, if I feel up to it, okay, gosh, maybe next week. That's not what it said. It said at once. They left their nets and followed him. And usually at this point I ask him, you know, what would you say are the nets in your life? What are the nets that you need to drop to truly follow Jesus, right? And because nets can entangle you. Nets can pull all bunch. And for me, it was women, it was success, it was my pride, it was my greed. There are a lot of things that can hold us back from truly following Jesus with all our hearts. And so, this is key right here. You see, to follow Jesus, you have to have the heart to fishermen, and you got to respond immediately to God. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, it doesn't include down to 20, but even if you read down to 20, now you see the sacrifice. Without delay, they followed. You see that same heart to respond immediately. And so now, Ajibola, the question for you is this what you've been doing? Have you been a fisher of men? Are you really responding only to God's word? What are these nets in your life? These are the questions you got to be asking here. You with me here, guys? Don't ever leave a scripture without asking the question to convict their hearts. Yes. Are you with me here, guys?
Yes.
This is very important. If you don't ask the questions and see, are you really doing this, then you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
We're not here to give information. We're here to change people's hearts. Okay? Yeah. And so most times people are like, bro, I haven't been trying to fish for souls. I mean, I don't even know what this, but maybe I don't see this at once. Honestly, this is the first time I'm finally responding to God's word. Okay, well now let's see some more conditions about being a disciple. Let's look. Luke chapter 9, now we see a little bit more about being a disciple. Here in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, now this passage is powerful. Jesus really lays out the conditions. The first scripture we looked at was really the call of the first disciples, right? To be a disciple, we got to be a fisher of men. We got to respond immediately to God's word, right? Here in Luke chapter 9, we see some more conditions. You see the call, you see the conditions, right? Here in verse 23 to 26, it says, then he said to them, all. Now this is important right here, Ajibola. This is important. Why? Because this is not just for ministers. This is not just for pastors. This is not just for people who are really sold out or the people who are really, really committed and everyone else isn't really. Because, you know, sadly today, in churches, they have the committed, they have the core, the committed, the community. They have like different levels of commitment in the church. No, there's one standard of commitment in the church.
Amen.
Right? And so here, he says to them all, this is for everybody. If anyone would what? Come after me, right? Be my follower, be my what? Disciple, right? He should deny himself? What does it say?
Must.
He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Okay, let's stop here. What does it mean to take up your cross? Does it mean to wear a cross? Okay, I got a cross. I guess I've taken up my cross now, so I'm good. Right? No, that's not what it means. It says he must deny himself. Well, deny himself of what? Of sin. Deny himself of the very things you know you shouldn't be doing, right? Kind of like looking at that woman over there who's like, you know, redressing or being impure or whatever. No, you deny yourself. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
With me as a brother? Okay. You with me? Okay. Now, here's the thing. You got to deny yourself. And it says, take up your cross daily. Well, what does it mean to take up your cross? Well, funny enough, what was the cross? The cross was a symbol of what? A symbol of death. People get this confused. It's like, because people will say, take up my cross, like Jesus? Like Jesus took up his cross? And I, no. This is way before Jesus went to the cross. So this doesn't have to do with Jesus going to the cross right here. What this is referring to is what the cross actually was. It was a symbol of death. When people saw a cross, they knew someone was about to die. Are you with me? If they were to start to build gallows next to the courthouse, what would you think? Someone's about to die. If you saw an electrocution chair, you wouldn't say, oh wow, I should put that in my living room as a couch. No, that's gonna be used for someone to die.
Yeah.
So what is he saying here? We gotta deny ourselves and literally die to ourselves daily. So how do we do that, Ajibola? Funny enough you ask. Think about it this way. You ever see like a fly? You ever see a fly bother you? Like you're outside and the same fly just keeps coming after you.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you can bat the fly away, but you're denying him. But what happens to the fly? It just keeps coming back. So what do you have to do to die to the situation? And until you, that fly will keep coming back. Now let's apply it to a spiritual situation, right? If you're at work, I know you got that brand new job, right? And you know, you're a handsome looking guy. Now if some girl decides to start flirting with you, and you're like, and you kind of play along with it, or you don't, you say you deny it, like, oh, I'm denying it. You're not really dying to the situation, are you? Because a lot of people do that because they really just want the attention.
Yeah.
What do you have to do? You gotta like, listen, I'm sorry, I don't really know you. I'm not interested in a relationship with you, so stop flirting with me or else I'm gonna report you to HR. Stop it.
That's right. Come on, yeah.
Because you see, here's the thing. If a girl does that to a guy, oh, it's okay. But if a guy does that to a girl,
it's not okay.
Exactly. You're in here. And sadly, I've seen brothers been falsely accused.
Wow.
And so you can't play around. I don't play around with women in the world. I love my wife.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I tell you right now, to this day, I mean, I've seen women come on to me, flirt with me. They see my ring. It's almost like that attracts them.
Wow.
I'm not, Ajibola, you got to be wise here. I was on the train one time. Literally, I was just holding the train, holding on to my thing. And this woman, entire thing open, full of seats, and this woman decides to come with herself, hanging out of herself, and come standing right next to me. You with me here? You know what I have to do? I had my hand this way, I just put my hand like this, and I put my ring right in her face like this. Just turn away. You with me right there? And you know what this woman did? She just went and sat right down.
That's right, that's what she needed.
Why? I'm like, get up out of my face! You're weak.
That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You better have more than a pretty face.
Come on.
Amen. Come on, girl. Brothers, you better start denying yourself and dying to stuff.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't let women play you.
Wait.
Or else you'll get played. Anyway, that's going on. You're doing good. Okay, here we go. So you gotta deny yourself and you gotta die to the situation. And sister, same thing by the way.
Amen. That's
don't
right.
Let brothers play you.
Yeah.
Don't let them throw a little money in your face and think, oh yeah, you know what they want.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid.
Amen.
But it says you gotta take up your cross when? Every Sunday.
Yeah.
It says daily. Oh my God. I gotta die to myself daily? Yes. I gotta die to my anger. I gotta die to my lust. I'm going to get out of my greed, my deceit daily. That's why you have a daily quiet time.
Amen.
Because every day I'm trying to die to stuff. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to die to today, Ajibola? Right? You didn't do that very well. And then it goes on, it says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. Now, you don't smoke, right, Ajibola? I thought I saw you with a pack of cigarettes the other day. Yeah, okay, here's the thing, bro. If you want to save your life, you want to save your life, then you need to lose the cigarettes. Right? But if you want to, because here's the thing, if you want to save your cigarettes, you're going to lose your life. So you got to get rid of those cigarettes, bro. Those contaminate your body.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians, we'll talk more about this later. Mm-hmm. You see how I'm picking up stuff right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you with that. You got to deal with that stuff. You see stuff over the course of the study. You got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Right? Well, good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self. You want that job, but they don't want you to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday? Then guess what? The job is not worth your soul.
That's right.
Yes.
Disciples?
Yep.
We're going to talk about this on Sunday. Let my people go. Some of y'all got some pharaohs that you're not willing to go to and say, let me go. We're going to deal with that on Sunday.
All
right. If anyone's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Wow. That means, what? So what do you see? If we're ashamed to take a stand for God, God will say, you know what? Fine. I won't take a stand for you. Father, feel free. Judge him for who he is without me. See, we want to be united with the Lord, but we're ashamed of him when it comes to taking a stand in the world. Guys, we got to take a stand. Are you with me here? So, Ajibola, how's it going right now? Denying yourself, dying to your sin daily. Oh, man, this is convicting. No one's ever called me to die to sin before in my life. And so, what you see here, bro, is that this sin is a call to repentance before you become a Christian. Before you become a disciple, he says, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself. You know, a lot of people think that you just believe to be saved. But the Bible says here, if you follow Jesus, you have to die to sin. Which means that repentance, dying to sin, is a condition of someone becoming a Christian.
Yeah.
Becoming a disciple. That's an important point. It might just be a point on the quiz that you may need to be aware of. Did you follow what I just said? Because it says here, if anyone's talking about, he must. You cannot call yourself a disciple and not live a life of repentance. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. You may be religious, but you're not a Christian. And you're definitely not a disciple. And so right here, bro, we got to make sure we're dying to sin. What is the sin in your life right now you're having a struggle dying to? Important question. You're dealing with, you're preparing him for light and darkness. Are you with me here, guys? What sin in your life right now you need to die to? And, oh, by the way, let me share about me. I always share about myself. I'll share about, over the course of study, I'll always share, right? And then now you get him to start to share. You get her to start to share. So now you're starting to hear stuff before you get even to light and darkness. Do you see what I'm saying here, guys?
Yeah.
In every study, you're bringing things to light. You're reminding them of something in the Bible. You're helping them confess sin. This is awesome. It's all coming out. Okay, so now, let's get a little deeper. Luke 14, we gotta go. Come on, Luke 14, fly with me, guys. Let's go.
Come on.
I'm trying to do as best as I can here and give you, because again, you know the scriptures, I'm trying to give you the heart.
Amen.
Luke 14, we've talked about the call of being a disciple. We've talked about the conditions of being a disciple. Now we're gonna talk about the cost of being a disciple. Do you see that?
Yeah.
You saw the call of discipleship, you saw the conditions of discipleship, now you're seeing the cost. This is important, guys. The call of discipleship, man, you're going to be a fisher of men, we're gonna respond immediately. The conditions, you got to deny sin, you got to die to sin daily. You can't be ashamed of God. You got to figure out what is sin in your life, you got to die to daily. A disciple is living a repentant life. That's the heart of a disciple. You're constantly in a state of repentance. As soon as you find out what your sin is, you want to die to it. That's the heart of a disciple, right? Now, let's look at the cost. Because the sad thing is when you hold out your hand to the truth and you try to live that life, it's not going to be easy. Luke 14, verse 25. The Bible says here, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me, again, you're coming to me, you're being my follower, you're being my disciple, and does not hate, father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Right here, it says, and you'll see further in, when you read down to 33 in just a second, cannot be a disciple. That's a pretty serious condition, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Cannot. Okay, so right here, it says, large crowds. Now, funny, Jesus was always about fitting the crowd. He always wanted to see who the true followers were, who the true worshipers were, right? Yeah. So he says here, if anyone comes to me, does not hate father and mother, why would you hate father and mother? Wife, children, brothers, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, here's the thing, guys. Guess what the word hate means in the Bible? Hate. Hate. Now, a lot of people say love less. Funny enough, that's actually not the actual definition. I've looked at this in like 10 different ways. What's really interesting about the Greek here is that one of the things you need to hate about your mother, father, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even your own life. What? That's the issue. Of course, you need to love God more than anyone else. Clear. But it uses the word hate here for a reason. Guess what? Because you need to hate. Hate what? Take a look here. This is an extra nugget just for you.
Come on.
Okay.
Proverbs 13.
Alright.
Proverbs 13, verse 5. Because people always wonder, man, you know, it's so hard to die to sin. It's so hard. It's so hard. You know why it's hard? Because you don't hate it. That's why you lust. That's why you're greedy. That's why you're deceitful. Because you don't hate your sin. You cannot stop doing something that you like.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
The Bible says here in Proverbs 13, verse 5, the righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. You see, if you read throughout the Bible talks about hate a lot. The Bible even says in Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Is that what it says in the end of 2011? To fear the Lord is to hate evil. If you don't hate evil, you cannot fear the Lord. Isn't that convicting right there, guys? I love my mom. My mom's passed, my stepmom. I love my dad, but I hate their sin. You know why? Because that sin will send them to hell. I love my wife, love my children, love my brothers and sisters, but I hate their sin. Why? Because that sin can send them to hell. Right? And then it says here, yes, even his own life. The question is, do you hate the sin in your life? Or do you keep playing with it? And then you wonder why your sin keeps coming back to bite you. It's because you don't hate it. You actually like it. But the Bible says, I know I need to deny it. Pastor Anderson, I know I need to really die to it. No, the Bible says that. Do you hate sin? If you do not hate sin, you cannot be a disciple. Wow. Let that marinate for a little bit. That's like saying, can a doctor love disease? Can a policeman love crime? Sadly, in the world, we see that, let's not put it in Nigeria terms. But you see, to be a true policeman, to be a true doctor, you should hate these things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What about being a disciple? Do you really hate sin because you understand that sin put Jesus on the cross? We'll talk about that later. But guys, we gotta have a deep conviction here. That's why he says, and anyone who does not carry his cross, what does carry your cross mean? To die to what?
Sin.
What are we talking about?
Sin.
Yes.
You cannot be a disciple. Some of you need to start hating your sin a lot more. And you know what? You're getting discouraged. It's like, Andrew, I don't understand why I can't stop sinning. Have you really thought about whether how much you hate it? Married men, how's it going with lust? I'm not talking to the single. Singles, that's obvious. Married, we gotta hate lust too.
Amen.
How much would it hurt your wife to know if you were involved with lust or pornography or masturbation? Singles, why do you think we have to train ourselves right now? Because one day you're gonna get married if God blesses you. And you think it's gonna magically change once you get married?
Come on, Andrew.
Well, there's no way to do this properly without time. 28 to 30, talks about can you afford to be a disciple. Verse 31 to 33 talks about can you afford not to be a disciple. Are you with me here? That's how you can break it down right there. Verse 28 to 30 talks about, you know, building a tower. You got to first estimate the cost to see if you can build it, right? If you lay the foundation, not able to finish it, then everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. The question is, can you afford to be a disciple? Can you afford to start this process? Remember, these are parables. These are analogies right here, right? And so, in the same way that we're trying to build a faithful life, we've got to estimate the cost to see, man, can I really do this? Do I have the faith to make it to the end? Right? Kind of like when you want to get married, right? Can I afford to get married? Do I have the faith to be faithful to the end? Right? Because if you lay the foundation and then you get divorced, it's like, what the heck? What's wrong with you? Right? In the same way, when Darren's about to get baptized tonight, you with me here?
Amen.
Right? We want to make sure she makes it to the end.
Amen.
Right, guys? We got to count the cost. Can you afford to be a disciple? She said, yes, I'm fired up for you, my soon to be sister. Amen? The last part here is, can you afford not to be a disciple? Why? Because he gives this analogy of two kings. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. These two kings, who do they represent?
God
and you. Because everyone wants to be king of their own life.
Yeah.
So the question is, who's going to win? Suppose the king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Okay, let's be honest. It's more like one versus a zillion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If he's not able, he sent a delegation while the other is still a long way off and asks for terms of peace. See, we surrender to God, not on our conditions, but his conditions.
Yeah.
We don't say, okay, God, I'll be a disciple if you grant me a wife or a spouse. Okay, God, I'll be your disciple if you give me a job. What's in it for me? What do you think? This is conditional here? No, this is you become a disciple or you die. There's no... It's like either you become a disciple or you go to hell. It's just one or the other here. Right? Here, it's like either you surrender or guess what? You die. God is not playing. God will not be mocked.
Yeah.
Right? You'll ask for terms of peace while it's still a long way off. Okay, God, I surrender. Right? In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Well, you know what everything means?
Everything.
Everything. Last time I checked, I just want to make sure. Yep, everything means everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are you not willing to give up for God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand this in a marriage context.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you get married, you know, to your lovely wife or husband, you give up what? You give up everything. You don't say, oh, okay, honey, I'll marry you, but on Saturday night, I really got to go to the club and be able to get my groove on with at least three other people. But from Sunday to Friday, you got me. But Saturday night, I got to get my groove on because that's just me. I got to do me. Can you imagine that? No. When you get married, what do you get married to? You give up everything. You're united to the love of your life.
Amen.
And you're faithful to the end.
That's right.
Right? Fellowship of the ring.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people want to wear the ring, but don't understand what it means. It's for life. Okay, so the key thing here, right, is that are you ready to be a disciple? Looking at this. Is this how you've been living? Can you afford to be a disciple? Are you ready to lay the foundation here and go to the end? And do you understand? I gotta surrender. This is not about me setting my own conditions. The conditions are set in here already.
Mm-hmm.
And like we talked about before, we can't allow interpretations or emotions or traditions to change up what God's standard is.
Yes.
Are you with me, guys?
Yes.
Discipleship, every time I do discipleship, I get reconvicted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I'm like, oh. You know, you hit certain things like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that one. You know? So, this is huge. Are you ready to be a disciple, bro? Is this what you want to do? Actually, can I get a yes or a no?
Yep.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to check. Okay, good. Well, then, you know what, bro? The only way to do this is if we stay close to God.
Yeah.
The only way we can do this is if we stay close to God. Turn over to Luke 11. And that's why we need to pray. See the transition right there?
Yes.
Because you're always wondering, how do I go from Luke 11?
Right.
How do I go there? Well, we need to pray. We need to stay close to God. Because the only way we can do this is if we're close to God. It's not easy to die to ourselves every day. We got to pray for God to give us the strength to die to ourselves.
Amen.
We got to pray for the strength to hate sin in anyone's life so that we can truly love God more than anything. And here, that's why it says in Luke 11, it says, verse 1 to 4, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Now, I always kind of find this interesting in the fact that how long have they been with Jesus up to this point? Like, they've been with Jesus for the last 11 chapters, and now they're asking how to pray?
Yeah.
Okay. "Lord, teach us how to pray just as John taught his disciples." When he said, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Well, you know what's interesting about this? This prayer isn't that long, is it? How long did I just pray for? According to this, 10 seconds? If that? See, it's about the heart of things. Some people think, I gotta pray out loud, really loud, outside. No. The Bible says, actually, if you speak a lot of words, mumbling a lot of words to get attention, that's actually not spiritual. We need to be close to God. But let's examine this, because obviously this is a template. This is not just, okay, like the Catholic prayer, say, pour, Hail Marys, and Five Our Fathers. That's not what this is. This is a template for prayer. So what is it saying? Father, hallowed be your name. What are we doing here? We're adoring God, right? Give us each day our daily bread. We're thanking God for what he's given to us. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Okay, now we're confessing our sin, and lead us not into temptation. God, please help me. Help me not to fall into this. Supply our needs. Help me. Those four things, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, that's known as the Acts Prayer. How do you pray as you roll up? The Bible doesn't say, in Jesus' name. And then you start. It doesn't say that. Now that's a tradition in Nigeria, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Every time I sit down with someone who's Nigerian, in Jesus' name. I'm like, well, I'm going to say that at the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. But I've noticed that people do that, maybe it's because people don't really, they're praying, but they not may not be praying to Jesus. Because sadly, people pray to many different gods.
Yeah.
But that's a tradition, in Jesus' name. Then they start praying. Does that say that here? It doesn't.
Nope.
So what is that? A tradition. Now, is that a bad tradition? No, I mean, if you want to pray, just, I mean, I don't have a, if you want to say in Jesus' name and then start praying, that's fine. But biblically, you don't have to actually say that.
Nope.
You can say, dear dad, Abba, Father. You can pray as if you're talking to your dad.
Yeah.
But yes, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, that's true. Absolutely, because you do want to pray in Jesus' name. The Bible talks about that. But I think we got to be careful because there's a lot of traditions that are not actually like, sometimes people think, like, if you don't do it this way, you're in sin. That's not true. We got to be careful not to be judgmental about that. If you don't pray this long, you're in sin. Really? Is that true? That's not true. If you really want to be specific, Jesus talks about money more than prayer. He does. Which means that if you're not sacrificial in your giving, what does that say? How spiritual are you?
Yeah.
If you really want to hold to the word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer is important.
Yes.
Prayer is you talking to God. Bible study is God talking to you. Mm-hmm. But very often I notice that some people are either really strong in prayer or really strong in Bible study or maybe not strong at all. Either way, we got to make sure when we pray, we deal with this template.
Yes.
When you pray, are you adoring God or just asking God for stuff?
Right.
Are you adoring God for who he is? Right? When you pray, are you confessing your sin? God, forgive me. Help me to overcome. When you pray, are you thanking God for what he's given you? And when you pray, are you asking him to help you, supply your needs? Trust me, that will be on the quiz next week, the Acts Prayer. Those four things. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. The Acts Prayer. It is the template for prayer. Now, of course, there are many ways to pray.
Yeah.
But I kind of like doing what Jesus did, so I'm going to stick with that too. How about that?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Guys, this is important. And we gotta have a daily prayer life. Because what does it say here? Give us each day our what?
Amen.
So how can you have daily bread if you're not praying daily? Right? It says here, give us each day our daily bread. So you gotta have a daily prayer life, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
How was your prayer life? Really? And again, guys, I wanna help you here. Sometimes we get really, like, we can get off on this. We can get super judgmental about things.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't pray for 2 hours, you're unspiritual. That's not true.
No.
Show me that in the Bible. Let's look at all these different prayers in the Bible. Let's add up how long they were.
Right.
Seriously, let's add up. You read the same prayer that I'm reading right now. Let's read John 17 prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The John 17 prayer. Powerful prayer. Jesus' prayer. Now, Jesus did say, can you not pray with me for 1 hour? Did he not say that?
Yeah.
He did. He did it. When did he say that, though? The Garden of Gethsemane. When he's about to die. So are there times to pray for hours? Absolutely. Do not get me wrong. I want to pray and be close to my God.
Yes.
But we also have the Nehemiah prayer when he's right before, you know, he's like, God, give me the words right now.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
See, what it means is, are you close to God?
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Because I see millions of people pray and Nigeria is still corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. So my question is prayer actually changing them?
No.
Or are they just doing it out of routine and tradition?
Mm-hmm.
See, if you're just doing stuff without the heart, it's still dead.
That's right.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
We have to do it with the right heart.
That's right.
Going through some tradition and some ritual means nothing if it's not changing your character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, if you're praying so much, why are you still in that sin?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't your prayer life change you? You should be just like Jesus the way you pray.
Come on, Andrew.
Let's go. Let's talk about it. Guys, we got to be men and women of prayer. We need to be men and women of Bible study. We need to be men and women of confession. When is the last time you confessed your sin? People love to pray here, but I don't see a lot of people confessing sin.
All right, tell it.
Why aren't you confessing sin? Oh, I confess my sin to God. Well, Bible says, James, what? Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so you may be healed. Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to obey part of the Bible and not the others? Let's make sure we know the difference between tradition and biblical truth.
Amen.
John 13, let's close out here. John 13, this is important, guys. Verse 34 and 35. Why do we pray? Why do we stay close to God? Because this helps us to truly love God and love people.
Yeah.
There's that transition for you. Our prayer life should help us to love more deeply.
Amen.
It should help us to love God and love people more deeply. In John chapter 13, it says here, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Wow. That's a conditional statement right there. What does that mean? That means that our love is not based on what our definition of love is.
Right.
You ever heard of the love languages?
Yes.
Right? Love language, if you get gifts or if you get words of affirmation, quality time, all this stuff.
Woo-hoo.
Guys, that's not what the Bible says. Your definition of love is not love.
Yes.
What's Jesus' definition of love? Here, Jesus was loving them while Peter was about to deny him and Judas was about to betray him.
Wow.
He was washing their feet.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond when people hurt you?
My name
is Ajibola, how do you respond? When people hurt you, do you still wash their feet?
No.
Do you still serve them?
No.
You still love them?
No.
While Judas was getting ready to betray him, Peter was about to deny him, he said, love as I loved you. That's the standard of love. We don't know about that. But it says, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You know how many times people have said stuff to me, and I'm like, do you know what I can do to you? Do you know? But I have to hold myself back. And it's not just because I'm a Because I love God. Are you with me? Right? You know. But I hold myself back. Why? Because Jesus held himself back. You know what he could have done? Snap his fingers. Game over. We'll talk about that later when we study at the cross. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, how deeply do you love people? Because my Bible says we gotta love God and we gotta love people. I think it's easy to say we love God, but how we love people shows us how much we love God. Let me say that again. How we love people shows us how much we love God. You can't tell me you love God and you don't love people.
That's right.
That's a lie. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people in here in Nigeria believe that. Mm-hmm. Well, let's close out here. In Matthew chapter 28, we started with this, we're going to end with this, Ajibola. Let's close out here. You know, this passage and this study changed my life. It showed me for the first time what it meant to be a true disciple, a true Christian. And you got to ask yourself, as you've been studying this out, is this how you've been living? Let's close it out together. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, which means that he has more authority than your boss.
That's awesome.
It says, more authority in heaven and on earth. See, people believe that Jesus has authority in heaven, but they don't believe he has authority on earth. That's why they listen to their boss over God. Did you catch that one?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, go and make disciples of only evils.
No,
that's not what it says. You're a boss, you know, it doesn't matter. All nations, all tribes. Are you with me here, guys?
Amen.
Baptizing them. So who's the candidate for baptism? A disciple. So can you be baptized as a baby? Does that make any sense?
No.
So why do people do that? It's traditions, interpretation, it's false doctrine. Are you seeing how all this stuff comes together, Ajibola? Baptizing them. So you baptize a person who's a disciple. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and, oh, check this here, teaching them to obey most things I've commanded you, right? Really? You got called to obey everything? No. Serious. Man, that's rough. That's not easy. So you have to disciple them. You know, the word discipling or mentoring is helping someone become more like Jesus.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. Teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. But here's the good news, Ajibola. It says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So we don't have to do it ourselves. The Lord is with us.
Amen.
So looking at this, Ajibola, you got to ask yourself, are you making disciples? Are you baptizing disciples? Are you teaching those disciples to obey? Is this what you've been doing? Now, over the course of the study, I always have, over the course of, you know, you're always going to find somebody say, oh yeah, I was doing. I'm like, okay. At this point of the study, if they say, usually they'll be like, no, I haven't been doing it. Because if you're calling them to decision after every scripture, it's very clear. But then you meet some people who are like, yeah, man, I study the Bible with people and I baptize them. Really? Okay. So you call them to die themselves? Oh, no, I call them to accept Jesus. Oh, okay, so you didn't actually challenge them to die to sin daily. No, I thought they would repent afterwards. Oh, so they become a disciple and then they repent? So before you get married, do you stop sleeping around with people before you get married? Or do you sleep around with people up to the day that you get married? That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it like that before. So aren't you supposed to stop that before you get married? I see what you're saying here. So I have to call people to repent before they get baptized.
Yes,
and you know, funny enough, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about that. But we'll get to that soon. But you see how it's important to call people to repent in that Luke 9 scripture?
Yes.
Very important. You're showing people the heart of repentance to be a true disciple. It's dying to sin, and it's hating sin. Otherwise, you really have a tough time dying to it. Well, Ajibola, truly, this is the only way to save the world. Here's what's the amazing thing. Nowadays, most of the time, only the preacher in many churches today is responsible to have any kind of evangelistic outreach. Now imagine if a preacher became a disciple, he's like, you know what, I'm gonna try to teach as much as I can, but he doesn't actually make disciples, he just teaches. Well, let's say he does. Let's say he goes after making disciples every day. He's able to make a disciple every day. Like sit down and study the entire Bible all the way through every day with someone. That would be pretty remarkable, wouldn't it? Well, after 1 year, he would have converted 365 people. Now let's say one disciple, just one disciple, over the course of 1 year, is able to make one more disciple. Wow. At the end of 1 year, it seems like, well, it goes from 365, he has 365, he has got two. But here's the problem, though, is the fact that these guys, even though they've been quote-unquote made disciples, they're not making disciples themselves. So all now he's going to be doing is adding. By the year two, now he's at 730. The disciple now, because both of them are actually making the decision to make disciples, they're at four. Well, it still looks as if it's really small. Yeah. But by the time you get to year 13, what's happened? The preacher, who's probably half dead and divorced by now, right, is at 4,745. But the disciples, because everyone is trying to make disciples, has now doubled them.
Amen.
And guys, in 32 years, a little over a generation, right? Preacher, he's pretty much in his grave now. 11,680. The disciple, the world, 5 billion plus.
Amen.
When every single person makes a decision to be a fisher of men, to go and make disciples and have Jesus' dream as their dream, the world can be won.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
It's not a question for you, Ajibola. Is this what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a disciple? Well, now, when you put it like that, listen, that's not what I've been doing. Well, then here's a tougher question, bro. If you're not a disciple, what does that mean? Going back up. Now, if you can go back up to the top. And I always tell people right back up to the top. I take them back up to the equation. So I'm like, if you're not a disciple, then what does that mean? I'm not a Christian. Okay, now here, as well, this is where you gotta really think about. If you're not a Christian, then are you saved?
Yeah, that's the question.
And you gotta let them marinate right there. Like a good piece of beef. You gotta just let it marinate and let them think about it. And just be quiet. Don't try to break the silence, just let them think about it. Until they say, you know what, I'm not. See, after this,